Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I be sublime.
Happy Friday. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP alongside Brian Mitchell. What's going on, B. Mitch? How's your Friday been?
Man, my Friday's been good. I got up. I did three little rides on the Peloton. I also did the Peloton treadmill, you know, thinking I'm young again. I woke up this morning. I felt like I was 27. So let me go and get this thing done. Then I walk in here and see White Brian. What's up, Brian?
I feel like I'm about 27. I'm going to be 27 in about 9 days.
9 days.
Nine days. I'm going to be 27.
That's a long time. See, 27. So I'm 27 times 2 plus 3.
A little past that age. Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned you getting a workout in. So I've been trying to get in a little bit better shape. I've been working out with Danny Ruye. And then Ryan Clary, the Stallion, joined us. I'm still sore. We worked out on Wednesday, B-Mitch. I'm still so sore.
Yeah, but you got to keep going through it. See, the thing about it is when you start working out, you go through it, you're going to get to about Saturday when you start to feel a little better. The problem is, so I'm going to use this person. Hope Martha don't get mad at me. So Riley McKenzie's wife, Martha McKenzie. So Martha, you say, Brad, I started working out, but I got so sore. I said, so what did you do? She say, I'm waiting for the soreness to leave. So about 5 days, 6 days go by, and then she'll go back into it again. She gets sore. She stopped working out again. You got to work through that. Once you get through it, then all of a sudden you begin to, you start gaining, you know, you start getting the gains, and you won't be as sore when you do something new going forward. But that first time when you first get into it, that's the absolute worst. I remember when I went to college and what was my coach name then? Brad Roll. Brad Roll took me through what you call resistance workout, where there's no weights. He had a towel. So he laid under the bench and he's doing resistance against you. And he did everything with like I did curls, everything. The next morning, I couldn't get out the bed, dog. I couldn't roll. I couldn't do anything. Because I was like, this is easy. He said, okay, talk to me tomorrow. But I went in there and I'm talking about it. There were situations where coming down to trying something, you could feel like your muscles are ripping.
Yeah.
But he said, keep going. And I got through that like fourth day, and I never had an issue for the rest of college.
The way to do it, man.
You got to keep going through it, brother.
Yeah, I got to get in better shape. That's what I'm trying to do. I was telling JP the reason that I'm trying to get in shape. I want to play in my alumni basketball game in December, but that's not the real reason. I'm going to Augusta in April. I got to be in better shape. Walking around Augusta?
Oh, bruh.
I got to be in better shape to walk around Augusta.
We got a multitude of people who look at golf and say, golf isn't a sport. You know, if you walk the course, it's a sport.
Yeah.
But just being what they call it? They don't call it people, patrons. That's what they call them.
Yeah.
Being a patron, not a fan, like a fan. Walking around Augusta, it'll change your mind about saying golf is not a sport.
Shoot. Swinging at the driving range, it'll turn your mind, change your mind about the sport.
When you swinging at the range and you're getting tired and hurt, that means you're doing something wrong.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, go play 18 holes, walking them, and tell me how you do on hole one versus hole 18.
See, what I'm going to do, Jeff and I, next time we go out, we're going to go right to Haynes Point. We're going to play the white course, which is shorter. There's no par fives. And we're going to walk it.
We could walk the par five.
We're going to walk it.
I'm
going to see what you're about.
I'm with it. Let's walk the big course.
We may never finish then when you got.
Let's walk the big course.
And hit the ball all over the place, that could be a problem.
That's the worst golf course,
I can get to your ball quicker.
That's the worst part. When you hit it everywhere.
That's not going to change. it's going to go everywhere. But it's all about how you look at it.
No,
brother.
No. You need to change that. You have to improve
I'm trying.
Jeff, I'm telling you, when you're walking and you hit it every which way but the fairway, it is the hardest walk.
We're gonna get through with the 9-hole landfill. I would have walked 3 miles and Jeff walked 8 miles.
Sounds about right. I've had that happen before. I know all about that, so don't feel bad about that, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
We got a packed show for you coming up today. D'Angelo Hall going to join us coming up at D-Hall. 11. At noon, Hondo
Another
Carpenter
going to
give us a – yeah, apparently he's caught the itch, huh? Hondo Carpenter going to join us coming up at noon. We'll get an inside look at the Raiders. Ask B. Mitch anything coming up at 1 o'clock. Last night, though, week 3 of the NFL season getting underway. Bills and Dolphins. The Bills improving to 3-0. The Dolphins falling to 0-3. We were talking about this just before we came on air here, B. Mitch. It's kind of funny. 11.5-point spread last night, so everybody's just assuming, oh, this is going to be a blowout. This is going to be something where Buffalo just runs away and hides with it. That's not really how the league works.
It didn't work that way.
That's just not how it works. Even though the Dolphins haven't looked great through their first two games coming into last night, they played a good football game and were right there until Tua turned the ball over at the end of the game.
Listen. We look at teams, and I hear a lot of people going, oh, they suck. Listen to me. They don't suck. They're all professional athletes. They may not have their chemistry as well as another team, but they got dudes that at any given day can just embarrass you. Tua, the way he throws the ball, Tyreek, the way he runs, they can hurt you at any time. They don't have the overall consistency, and that's what happens. You know. So it's funny when you hear people talk, they try to knock athletes. I'm like, go out there with them for a half of the game. No, just for a quarter of a quarter. And you'll find out how much more they are ahead of what we think they are.
Yeah, I mean, you felt like Buffalo was always in control of this game. They outgained the Dolphins 360 to 276. Buffalo didn't turn the ball over. The Dolphins had the one turnover. But I thought Miami put themselves – I mean, Tua's numbers aren't very impressive. Only 146 passing yards on 34 attempts, but he threw for the two touchdowns. Felt like the Dolphins looked more like the Dolphins that we were accustomed to seeing, where the offense wasn't maybe as explosive as you're used to seeing, but some of the motions, they were able to at least pick up some first downs. They looked more like the team that you're used to seeing under McDaniel, where the offense is at least somewhat efficient.
Yep. The thing about it, though, that one thing, and I think it erases everything else, if you turn the ball over, you mess the game up.
Yeah.
It was just sitting around 21-21 or 21-20 or 14 at one point. I think they tied it up. Then, boom, you start getting a turnover, and that's over. What if they don't turn the ball over and go down and score?
Yeah.
It could be a different ball game.
100%.
You know, so I think when we look at – I know we look at football, it's always about the big stats because everybody's a fantasy football fan.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, you're more fantasy fan than you do damn regular football because there's people that are cheering for their fantasy team. And they could be, they don't give a damn what happened with their team
on that,
until the end. So that's why I don't like doing it. But my ultimate thing is in the trenches and turnovers decides football games. That simple. Mm-hmm. If your team wins the trenches and don't turn the ball over, I would say you're going to win 95% of the games you're in. If your team loses the trenches and turn it over, you're going to probably lose 99% of the games you're in. You know, some fluke things that can happen every once in a while, but you'll lose way more when you're not winning the trenches and you turn the ball over.
Well, and that's what I think is funny. You bring up that people only care about stats because of the fact that so many people play fantasy football. I've had a take over the last couple of years that I'm not a big fan of red zone. We can save that for another time. I think it makes a...
Sure you all... Red zone is basically Mike Shanahan. Remember he said when he's scouting the guy, all he looks at is the highlights?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to look at the lowlights. I want to see.
Well, I want to see the whole thing.
I want to see a guy, but I much rather see what a guy mess up, and then watch him after that. That tells me more than a guy that had a great play, because after that play, he's going to be excited. Everybody's excited. I want to see what happens to a guy once they do something wrong. Do they go into a shell, or do they come out and fight back?
Yeah,
that right there would tell me a lot more.
Yeah, and the reason I bring up that is last night, Josh Allen. You look at his numbers, again, not overly impressive, but if you watch the game, the way that he processes now and the way that they run their offense, where before it used to be Josh Allen had to be the run game, Josh Allen had to be the passing game, Josh Allen had to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've taken a lot off of his plate by being able to run the football, And in turn, Josh understands that he can almost play game manager until he needs to be Superman. And so last night, 22 of 28, 213, three touchdowns, no picks, took a couple of sacks, but James Cook, 19 carries, 108 yards and a touchdown. I think the way that their offense is able to work now, one, it resembles Buffalo in a lot of ways, where it's just very workmanlike. Like in a modern era where everything is shotgun, three and four receivers, one tight end, one back, they're out there running three tight end sets. They're running all sorts of stuff like that.
Run what your personnel dictates. But what you're saying, I basically had that conversation with someone yesterday about Washington. Well, I had it with Gary Clark and Brian Colbert Jr. We do a preview show, and they asked me what I thought. I said, listen, instead of looking at Jaden as the Superman going into a game, look at him as going to a game and help him out.
Yes.
And let him only use his superpowers when they are necessary. But if you go into the game and you just try to utilize everything he can do just off the bat, you're putting him at risk.
Yeah.
But if you can go into a game and you can run the football, you get more people involved, you help out guys that need help when it comes to blocking points, all of a sudden now you make him even more dangerous. So that's what they – and Josh, being a big old guy, they still are trying to pull stuff off his plate to enable him. I made a comment, and I make it all the time. I don't think many people take much heed to it. Quarterback is the most dependent position in sports. We like to run and say, oh, man, you get you a quarterback, you got it done. Get you a quarterback, you don't have offensive line. That great quarterback still going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to help your quarterback out. He depends on certain things to be able to relax. If he can't get into that mode and you start trying to be superhero, bad things will happen.
Well, and that's what I like so much about what Buffalo's now done with their offense. And it was some of the discussion we had this offseason with some of the Terry discussion and other things about Jaden was, oh, well, Jaden can get it done without the elite receivers. Oh, I'm sure he can. I believe that he can. I believe Jaden can get it done with you and me at receiver almost.
Can he do it consistently at the level you need if you don't have people helping him out?
Absolutely not. And the other point about it, like you were saying with Josh Allen, I don't want him to have to play Superman from the first snap of the game.
Yeah.
When it gets to a third down in the fourth quarter and I need him to pick it up, pull out the cape, Superman. Mm-hmm. Go do your thing. And that's what Jaden's talked about, where third downs in the red zone, third and fourth downs in the red zone, that's where I make my money. That's where I've got to make things happen. But when you're able to take some stuff off of his plate where it's first and 10 in the first quarter with 12 minutes to go, you don't have to be Superman yet.
Yeah.
He can rely on Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. He can rely on Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin. That's why you need to have those guys around. And I think you watched last night with the Bills. You're always watching, wondering what's going to happen with 17. You think the Dolphins defense isn't thinking the same thing?
Yeah.
But he understands that I can rely on these other guys. And I thought James Cook last night was spectacular.
Yeah.
The patience that he runs with, the way that they were able to set up those running lanes. Like, he is special. And I love, too, B. Mitch, that in the modern NFL where everyone just talks about pass, it seems like in the last year and a half, because of what you saw last year with Saquon, with Derrick Henry, and because so many people are playing that too high look, the run game has now become just as important as it once was.
You have to have a special person, though, like those guys, to get that done. I just didn't like one thing in that game. That unnecessary roughness call, when the guy had Josh Allen, and not Josh Allen, offensive lineman, blocked him off of Josh, and they called the flag on him, that was BS. These referees got to stop throwing flags. If they throw a flag, they should be able to pick it up if it wasn't right. That was not an unnecessary roughness. They were up there. They had him, and then the guy knocked the dude off. The dude fell. Josh fell. He didn't take Josh to the ground. He got knocked to the ground.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I just think that you watched Josh Allen last night. He just operates at such a high level, and it's hard not to see them play. The tough part about it, when you're watching the Bills and the Ravens, and maybe we can have a Chiefs discussion with this too, is we know who the top dog in the AFC has been for years, and that has been Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't know what they are this year. I don't want to write them off at 0-2, but they don't look quite the same. Granted, they weren't impressive last year, and they went to the Super Bowl. But the tough part about watching the Bills and the Ravens is it feels like their season doesn't start till January. You feel like you can pretty much put them in Sharpie, they're going to be in the playoffs. Chances are one of them is going to run into Kansas City And it's, can they get past the boogeyman and Patrick Mahomes? And unfortunately for both those teams, with their stud quarterbacks, with their incredible rosters, they haven't been able to do it. And Buffalo looks so impressive, but every single time you watch them, you're like, okay, great. Can they beat the Chiefs when it gets to January?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only question that still remains.
Yeah, it's just like Karl Malone, Stockton, Barkley, Mewing. They had to go through Jordan. Until they go through Pat and that team, all the other stuff is for naught.
Well, and that's what's going to be interesting about watching Sunday night is when the Chiefs are back in action Sunday night against the Giants. I think everyone expects Mahomes and the Chiefs to come out on top in that one, going on the road to MetLife Stadium against the Giants. But you want to talk about almost polar opposite of how the Bills are able to help out Josh Allen. Feels like for the Chiefs right now, everything runs through 15. Like, he's their leading rusher.
Yeah.
In the pass game, he's missed a couple of throws, but for the most part, it's not like their receivers are getting open.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce's not the same guy anymore. Feels like everything rides on Patrick Mahomes' back, and I think everyone believes that he can get it done, but can you do that for 17 weeks?
But he needs help. He needs help, point blank. When Pat, in the game last year against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, Pat needed protection.
Mm-hmm.
His offensive line was deplorable. If he had an offensive line, that game don't go like it went. Because if he has time, he'll find somebody. But he has to have time. Okay? And we talk about the receivers. Let's be real. Defensive backs, they don't want to cover for 8-9 seconds. And if you got a line blocking and the quarterback can run around, I don't care who you are, you're going to get open.
Yeah.
Just because a guy may just start looking somewhere and lose sight of you, and you'll end up open. So it'll be a problem, but you got to help him out no matter what. I don't care how great a quarterback is. If he's not getting the support, he's not going to be able to be the guy he's capable of being.
I mean, just listen to these stats from some of the guys, the supporting cast that he's got. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco both have 47 rushing yards through two games. That's all they've got. Mm-hmm. Those are their leading rushers. Their leading receiver is Hollywood Brown, who at this point in his career, I don't think anyone was expecting him to be the top guy for KC, but he is right now, 15 catches, 129 yards. Then it's Travis Kelce, 6 for 108. There's just such an unimpressive group of players around him until they get Rashee Rice back. If they can hang on, I think they can get things going.
All that to be said, people, it's because the offensive line not doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Kareem Hunt and Pacheco don't have yards. We already know Kareem Hunt and Pacheco, you give them an inch, they'll take the rest. But if they got to fight to get the inch, then it's going to be a problem. The offensive line got to be better, hands down.
100%. It makes you just think that watching the Bills and the Ravens, those teams look so impressive. Be interesting to see how the Chiefs rebound on Sunday night. Want to get into the Commanders. I don't know what the likelihood is of Jaden Daniels playing. We'll find out a lot more today. We might even find out that he's not playing today. We'll get an update as we'll get you that update as it goes on later today. But if Marcus Mariota is under center, what is your confidence level in Washington coming out on top on Sunday? We'll talk about that next. You're going to be Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. NFL Sunday is coming, and you got your crew, your couch, your snacks, your slate, and FanDuel is coming with something extra. This isn't just another NFL Sunday. It's your chance to place that perfect parlay or hit your go-to player prop, and now we're making it even better because this week, FanDuel is bringing the bonus. That's right. Right now, all customers can get a 50% profit boost on any NFL bet. However you play the game, FanDuel's got your back with something extra in your account because that's what Sunday should feel like. Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download the app and get in on all the action before kickoff. FanDuel is official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley on a Friday. Toby Altizer sitting in for JP today. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Marcus Mariota, probably a good chance. I'd say fairly good chance that he's going to be under center on Sunday against the Raiders. What is your confidence level that if Mariota is the one under center on Sunday that the Commanders can still win?
It's high. Looking at what he did last year, gives me great confidence. You know, every time he was called upon, he played well. Not only did he throw the ball well, he ran the ball. And people have to realize one thing, man. Dude won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
He was drafted number 2 overall. There's something in him that he found last year whenever he had a chance to go and play. So I'm not going to count him completely out ever. Now, what would concern me is that during training camp this year, he might have practiced once.
Mm-hmm.
They say he's completely healthy now. Everything is good. And if everything's good, I expect the guy I saw last year. They went and paid him nice money to come and be a backup here because they have great confidence in him. But being close to the team and listening to players, you know who else has confidence in him? The actual players. So when your players believe in that guy, good things can happen. It's only when I think when the players don't have confidence in the backup quarterback is when the backup quarterback don't have a chance in hell. I think Marcus has it. And he and Cliff works well together. You know, we've seen for years, we had mobile quarterbacks. Their backup were statues or pocket passers. Marcus and Jaden, they're not exactly the same, but they damn near the same. They both have the same abilities. They can both pass the ball out the pocket. They both can run the ball.
So, yeah, I mean,
you don't have to change up the offense is what I'm trying to say.
It's a wild card when you draft guys coming out, and their draft profiles are very, very similar. Now, Jaden's a better passer. We understand that. Yeah. But in terms of what they were coming out of, college quarterbacks, Heisman Trophy winners, second overall picks, so much of it is the same. The playing style isn't exactly the same, but in terms of they've got similar sorts of track records coming out of college. And you look at last year with Mariota, and you look at his numbers. For the totality of the year, 34 of 44, 364, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 18 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. But just look at the games where he had to play significant amounts. So, week 18.
77% completion.
Mm-hmm. Week 18 against the Cowboys last year. Played the second half, remember, because they took Jaden out. They were struggling, couldn't get anything going offensively. Mariota comes in, leads them to a win. 15-18, 161, 2 touchdowns, no picks. 5 for 56 on the ground that game with a touchdown. Impressive performance in the second half against Dallas when really the offense seemed to be sputtering. Remember the Carolina game where he basically played every play aside from that first drive when Jaden left with a rib injury.
Yep.
18-23, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 11 for 34 on the ground. Remember, they hung 40 that game, right? So you don't ever want to ever overlook anybody. We were just talking about that in the opening segment, talking about the Dolphins, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be a blowout. No. You can't overlook anybody in the NFL. So you can't just look at the Raiders and say, oh, it's going to be a cakewalk. But
no, you can't.
They should be able to get things done with Mariota because, like you said, there's a confidence.
He has the control over this offense.
100%.
But what we discussed earlier about needing support, being able to depend upon people. Marcus Mariota needs just what Jaden needs. If I said Jaden needs that, you think Marcus don't need it?
Yeah, he needs
he
more.
He needs his offensive line to come in and play better. He needs the receivers to get open, show him color. He needs, run the running game to work. And if it does, they can have success.
So one thing that I find funny, and I bring this up a lot, but everyone looks at the comments from Cam Taylor-Britt last year. I bring this up a lot because I don't think it's a slight to anyone, even though a lot of fans took it that way. When he said college offense and kind of joking about that and saying, you know, oh, nice college offense they run over there, immediately everyone's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This,
who said that?
This offense, Cam Taylor-Britt, corner for the Bengals
last year. But you know what, though? That team put 30-something points on them.
Well, and so here's my point with it, B-Mitch. It might be college-style concepts, but it works in the NFL, and that's a credit to Kingsbury for finding stuff.
You know who runs a college-style offense? His offense.
Yeah.
Every offense in the league now runs more of a spread-type offense. And all that came from college football.
Well, and I don't think it's a slight. Like, even if you meant it as that, big deal. More people should find ways to adapt things that work at the college level that was successful for a guy like Jaden Daniels, right? And he was successful at the college level. Bring some stuff that he was good at to the pros and adapt it. And you saw the success that he had. But I don't think it's any surprise, B-Mitch, that when Mariota stepped in to an offense that maybe fit his skill set more than any other offense he's been in his time in the league, Mariota looked competent.
Yeah.
Mariota looked more like the guy we saw at Oregon than the guy that had become the Jag that everyone joked about when he was in the NFL.
He ran what he was familiar with. And for the guy Cam Taylor-Britt to say it, like when people, he was saying it to be a slight, but you couldn't stop it.
Correct.
So what does that say about his defense? You got a high school defense? You know what I'm saying? So it's
he
just,
had Jaden's LSU
listen,
defense.
Man, you do what works. And I don't care what they call it, high school, college, little league, if it works, it works. We saw the Kansas City Chiefs do the ring around the Rosie and score the damn touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them do all kinds of stuff. You can't stop it. That's all that matters. The success of the play, the success of the offense or defense, that's all that matters. What some idiot says because – you know why he tried to knock it? Because he couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
Most times, people, they will save themselves embarrassment by just saying, they run that offense damn good. And that's a lot better than, oh, you got the college offense. Well, your pro defense couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
What does it say about your defense?
Well, and I think the point I'm trying to make here is that I think Mariota's much more comfortable in this offense than in other offenses. Not to say that, you know, teams that brought him in, like Tennessee, wasn't trying to run just straight up drop back pass game Peyton Manning style. They weren't trying to do any of that. They were still trying to adapt some stuff. But I think you saw comfortability from Mariota in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury that he hadn't really had throughout his career. And look, there's clearly a drop off from Jaden Daniels to Marcus Mariota. If you were able to watch training camp or saw anything, there's definitely a difference. But Mariota looks competent. He looks like someone that could step in. They said they feel like they have two starting caliber quarterbacks. Not to say that it's no big deal losing a top 10 quarterback in the league, but at the same point, I think you look at what Mariota can go out there and do on Sunday. He can be efficient. He can take care of the football. He can run if necessary. He's got everything possible.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, the big thing is the guys around him. This is where Terry needs to have his best game so far this season. Yeah. He can't have the, you know, 25, 30 yards. He needs to have 70, 80 yards come up big. Debo needs to be involved. Bill needs to be involved. O-line needs to be better. If everyone else around helps out, Mariota can get things done.
But if he's efficient and he goes out there and he handles, just makes the plays that needs to be made or the plays that are there, all of a sudden the pressure is on the other side, not him. I think we look at football and we look for the big plays. Go back to fantasy again. Everybody look for the big plays. The big splash stuff. But the consistent plays, the 3 yards, the 6 yards, 7 yards, you know, 4 yards, 8 yards, those consistent plays like that puts pressure on the other side. And those are the things that breaks people back. Like last year when you watch them, they'll go down the field, take 7, 8 minutes off the clock, sometimes 10 minutes. And then the other team come on the field, what they start doing? Forcing. Because they just went down, took time off the clock. It's natural for the offensive coordinator of the other team, after saying that, I got to do something. So he takes the risk. You get the ball back. You go down the field, methodically down the field again, score another touchdown. If it's 14-0 or even get a field goal, 10-0, you have now made that other coach throw his whole game plan in the trash. Because now he's in a, I got to get back. And they take chances. That's what Marcus Mariota has to do. Just go out there and get the play that's there. You know, if you see, if I could, I could throw this ball down the field, I could get a 70-yard touchdown, but I know for sure I could throw it over here and I got a first down. You know, if I got to throw a perfect pass to get the touchdown, I'm going to just take the first down and go put them on the field, the defense, for four more plays. And I think Marcus does that now. A young Marcus Mariota probably wouldn't have done that. He'd have tried to go get the gusto.
Mm-hmm.
Now he checks down. And, hell, he's been the best on his team because he also helps and mentors Jaden.
Yes.
And if you see Jaden playing at that high level at such a young age, you got to give some of that credit. You know, I know Jaden deserves tons of it, but you got to give some of it to Marcus Mariota as well.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. What's your confidence level if Mariota does end up being the one under center on Sunday? Do you think that the Skins can still get it done? Do you think that what he was able to do last season is going to carry over and he's going to be able to win this game for Washington on Sunday? 800-636-1067. We'll get to some of your phone calls next. Your confidence level if Mariota is under center on Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Be Mitch and Finley on a Friday.
Stopping us right now.
Toby Altizer sitting in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. What's your confidence level? Assuming Marcus Mariota is going to be under center, I think there's a really good chance that's going to happen on Sunday. What's your confidence level of Washington coming out with a win with Mariota under center? You say pretty confident.
Yeah, I'm confident.
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty confident as well.
The reason is also, the Raiders played Monday night.
Big time rest advantage for Washington.
And they're traveling here. So that stuff does have, it works, but if you took advantage of it.
Yeah.
So I would say Washington has advantage since they got to travel over here. And it's been proven, people traveling from west to east, people traveling from east to west, they don't always have a high percentage rate of winning.
Yeah. Especially,
but you can't just depend on that. You still got to go out there and handle your business.
Especially a 1 o'clock game with that west to east.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Let's get out to Shane in D.C. Shane, what's up? What's your confidence level?
It's happy Friday, you gentlemen.
What's up, man?
Hey, look, Mariota's not Toby, right? He can't feel it like JP and come in there. He's still a backup quarterback. He's not played all in the thing, so... You know, I think we're going to squeak this game. I think we're going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders come here and stun us and beat us. Just call it what it is. I'm not worried about the offense just quite yet. I'm more worried about that defense. I mean, that secondary, it doesn't matter. And the right tackle, let's call it what it is. The right tackle position is what I'm more concerned about than anything. I don't know how a short leash he's going to be on, but I think it's going to be a short leash down the right. You got to protect him. Regardless who's playing quarterback, whoever's back there throwing the football, you got to protect it. That's just what it is.
100%.
You got to run the football. You're going to go back to the 90s. Run the football down the throat. Start there, and then let's see what happens.
Yep. I think you're right. You know, the whole thing about it, though, if that right tackle is a young guy who's having problems, what do you have to do? Help him out.
Yes.
Okay, and that's not all just on him. That comes down to the game plan as well.
100%.
So I'm not going to just blame him. And, hell, let's be real. The guy that the right tackle dealt with last week, he beats every damn body.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were times where they had a game plan to go over there and help him out to chip Parsons, and he just run by the chip.
Yeah.
I mean, he's insane. But, yeah, I think helping out the right tackle and Connor Lee is going to be big. But he brought up the defense, B. Mitch, and we're going to get into the keys to the game in just a little bit. But I think you look defensively, this is one where they've got to step up. And, you know, if this becomes a shootout, then, yeah, maybe you're a little less confident in Mariota. If this is something where the defense can hold them to under 17 points, then, yeah, you're going to feel a lot more confident
I'll
you
say
get
this.
It done.
They, everyone has said that this team doesn't run the ball effectively. Let's make sure that they're still not running effectively at the end of this game.
So true. So true. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Robert in D.C. Robert, what's up?
Hey, man. What's up, man? Hey, before I say anything, let's give a shout-out to Andrew Mullins, man, the guy that answering the phone. You know, he told me y'all give him a hard time. That's an important job, so I'm going to give the brother a shout-out.
Well, by the time he answered the damn phone, Jeff don't me answer the phone. Andrew just probably, he probably answered that one call, man.
So, hey, look, hey, man, I got confidence in the backup quarterback because he a vet, man. He been around, man. He ain't going to be tripping on starting, man. He a vet. Second of all, it really ain't just up to quarterback Cliff Kingsbury, the offense coordinator. His game plan got to be correct, too. And I believe because it's going to be Mariota, look for them to try to establish that run. So I'm saying, you know, because they keep talking about the right tackle. Young ain't going to get better, man, with time.
Totally.
But, you know, when we went to Green Bay, man, we didn't even attempt to run the ball. Come on, man.
Yeah.
If you got pass rushers pinning their ears back coming at you, come on, B-Mitch. Back in the day, Pop Warner, you do screens, draws. We did none of that, man. We just kept dropping back, got the quarterback hurt. Man, Cliff got to do what he get paid to do. I don't give a damn who the quarterback is. Y'all have a blessed day.
I
appreciate it, Robert. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They gotta
I'm
get
with
the,
him on that.
They got to get the run game going. And one thing that I think is interesting is it seems like a lot of times when Kingsbury's helping on one side, he tends to help on the other side as well. That takes two people out of the route.
Just that's one. Just do it once.
Exactly. That's part of why you traded for Tunsil, is sure. So that you don't necessarily have to help on that side. So you're not taking two guys out of the route to do that.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to Jay in Upper Marlboro. Jay, what's
up? Jay?
What's going on? How y'all doing today?
We good, man.
Hey, so, all right, so just a couple quick points. So my answer, it's like an if this, then that. And it kind of echoes what the other callers were saying. If the offensive line blocks, I have very high confidence in Marcus. If they don't, it doesn't matter who's back there. Nobody's going to get it going. If they do what they did against Green Bay, it's going to be an ugly day regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings me to my next point, kind of like what the last guy said about Cliff. The play calling's got to be better. Mm-hmm. I think that Cliff has gotten a little bit, you know, like the bug on him was they said after year two, everybody knows what Cliff's going to do. And I'm thinking the whole time, like, well, he knows that. He knows the rumors are out there, so he's going to change it. I'll be damned. He really didn't change. He came out, especially against Green Bay. Y'all were just talking about a college offense. That looked kind of collegey. I'm not going to lie. And I understand why they were trying to get it out. But the world saw Jaden Daniels get off the ground every single pass play. He's getting picked up. That boy got hit every single play, and they made no adjustments. I kind of had flashbacks to Ron. Like, Ron was known going in at halftime, coming out, making no adjustments. The other team always made adjustments. Against Green Bay, they made none. Jaden got annihilated. And I really think he's starting to lose a little confidence. He's thinking a little bit more in the pocket. He's breaking the pocket a little bit quicker. He's looking over his shoulder quite a bit more. Because I don't think he trusts those guys. And to be honest, I really don't blame him. So,
sure.
You know, it's definitely they've got to set the quarterback up, no matter who it is, for more success. I do hope Jaden sits this one out, gets that knee better. And if Marcus is healthy, I have full confidence in the guy. I think he's great. And maybe he can get a little spark that this team needs. They're a little flat. They seem to be a little complacent. Hopefully, what Marcus is going to give you is effort every single play. Hopefully, he goes out there, sparks his team, and then we can get back going and make a little run.
Appreciate it, Jay.
Yeah, head to the Commanders.
See, that's what I saw in that game, that last game. I never thought we matched their intensity.
Never.
And I think that is what we have to do. We've seen this team. When they're playing, matching the intensity of the other team, they're in everything.
It was interesting. After the game, I was doing the post-game show with Doc, and someone called in and asked what the identity of the team is. And I think the identity of this team, when they're playing at their best and they're playing winning football, B. Mitch, is they're going to force the initiative. They're going to be the ones to drive the action offensively and defensively. They're going to get after you on the defensive side. On the offensive side, they're going to force the issue. And it felt like in that game, they didn't do it on either side of the football. It was a little bit timid on both sides. And in turn, Green Bay dominated them.
I'm with that.
Let's get to Drew in Eastern Shore. Drew, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's hey, up, looking man? Forward to the game. And it'd be Mitch. Hopefully see you Sunday. The I'm not concerned about Marcus playing versus Jaden for one game. I feel like the team can be a good team. I am concerned that the team we've seen so far through two games this year is not the same team that we saw last year. They're not doing the same things. I think, you know, Toby, I agree with what you just said. They were a much more aggressive and cohesive team when they were on it last year. And they've been flat, especially offensively, both games this year. And they need to come out and kind of do what we know they can, what we've seen them do before. But, you know, every year is different. And I'm still kind of holding my breath that we get back to where we were last year. Because what they did against Green Bay, that's not going to be good enough, even though Green Bay is a better team than Vegas. So we need to win. But I really want to come out of this game feeling like, you know, all the expectations that we had at the beginning of the season can happen. And I'm a little less comfortable than I was at the beginning of the season that they're all there. But I think they can turn it on. So I'm hopeful, but I'm not as comfortable as I want to be.
I appreciate it, Drew.
Yeah, but I think the thing about last year, they weren't the team that we saw midway through the season at the beginning of the season last year either. And it doesn't just translate from one year to the next. The next year is a totally new year. And you have to build and get your mojo going. The first game, they didn't play well, but they were dominant. Second game, they were dominated.
Yeah.
This third game coming in, they got to come hit the ground running.
That's the tough part about professional sports, especially when you get to the precipice but don't get to the ultimate prize, is you get to a point with the chemistry and how everyone's playing. You don't just get to start there week one next year.
Yeah, because
that's the tough part. You start over.
It's new pieces.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand people know where we ended at last year, but this team is by no way where that team that ended last year was.
Yeah, and that's the tough part about it. They got to build that up, and hopefully as the season goes on, they get back to that point, but hopefully they can get out of week three with a win, even if Mariota's under center. Coming up next, we're going to get to D'Angelo Hall. He's going to join us. If you're on the phone lines, you can stay there, though. We're going to get back into some of the phone calls coming up at 11:30, get some of the Commanders' keys to the game, but coming up next, Redskins legend D'Angelo Hall joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Keep it tuned right here to Beamish and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.